25, 26, and 27 together. 25. Whom God has set forward to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time as righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is neglect excluded. And what law? By the works? Nay, but by the law of faith. All right, verse 15. Who's the whom go back to? Who's the one that has an end? Barbara.
Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Whom? Yeah, Paul.
Could also be not only for Jesus Christ, but could also be for the believers.
It could be, but the reference before that, you see, talks about in verse 24, to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the next verse would be whom, going back to Christ Jesus, in this great context. Now, it doesn't mean who got it set forth. What is set forth? Any hands on that? Set forth. After that?
Placed forward, placed, put him in a position so that he would be able to be able to be a propitiation.
All right, he's put him in a particular, this way,
that's
particular position so he might be able to save us. He's sent him forth. Now, what is the, last week we talked about that, but we just want to renew because we didn't cover the whole verse. What does propitiation mean? Any hands on that? Barbara?
Freely, without any payment at all, appeasing, placating, satisfaction.
Okay, Pastor Daniel, 72.
What's
that mean, sorry?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction. In other words, God is satisfied. Now, do any Bible verses omit that word?
Yes.
Yes, they do. NIV, other versions, it is trapping. It is too big a word for that. Maybe they can't pronounce it, see? He's a satisfaction. Now, what does satisfaction mean? Hands on that, hands on that. What does satisfaction
mean? Paid in full.
Okay. Satisfaction, satisfied. In other words, with what is he satisfied? And he has on that. With what is that yet? 10.
The atonement made by Christ.
Whatever he paid the price for sins, died for sins, and now God is satisfied with us?
No.
No, but with the price that Christ paid at the cross, dying for the sins of the whole world, and if we trust in him as our Savior to die for us, we can have eternal life. And so he's satisfied. Are people in this world, all of them, satisfied with the payment of Christ at the cross?
No.
No, they're not. Absolutely they're not. They don't want anything to do with Christ, especially the cross. Paul?
Yeah, people don't want to hear the name except when they use the name for blasphemy. You
know, blasphemy, yes, cursing. That's good, that's right. Set forth, appreciate your faith, and to now through what is the answer that gives satisfaction, appreciation, in verse number 25? Any hands on that? What is it that gives satisfaction? Barbara?
Faith in his blood.
This is what? 10? They said, through faith in his blood. Now, what happened to his blood? What kind of blood is it? And why is that satisfying to the Lord God of heaven and earth? And the answer to that. Okay, the faith, go ahead.
Sinless blood.
It's sinless blood. Is anybody else's blood sinless in this world?
No.
No, not a single one of us. We got wicked blood. And now, when at birth, who do doctors say gives the baby his blood?
The male.
That's right, Barbara.
Mom.
That's right. The father. Now, did the Lord Jesus have a human father?
No.
No, he didn't. Who was his father? God the Holy Spirit was his father. So that's why Jesus, through the incarnation, could have perfect, spotless blood. And that's why he could die shedding his blood. And in the Old Testament, what was blood for? What did they use blood for in the Old Testament? Any answer to that? Yeah, that's right.
The sacrifice of the blood.
Okay, and Paul?
Could they also use for the burnt offering?
For the offering, yes.
It was applied to the altar and to the Ark of the Covenant, and it was applied to the veil, sprinkled on the veil 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was to purify the priests, and it was also to purify the people from their sins.
Mm-hmm. Barbara?
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission.
No remission. Now, what do some people teach about the blood of Christ? It's false. Yes, or that?
Some believe it's a metonym for death.
Okay, what's the matter that name that used that term? Santana?
Dr. John MacArthur.
What does it say
Mentioning for what? Mentioning for what? Let's answer this first, and then we'll get there. Remind me of the mentioning. Hello? Rob Winograph from Chicago.
Thanks for inviting everyone. I just want to go back to propitiation.
Okay.
And I just want to let folks know you can look that up in Luce Sperry Chafer's Systematic Theology, Volume 3.
Okay.
And on page 134, he explains redemption, reconciliation, and propitiation.
Mm-hmm.
And redemption is toward sin, reconciliation toward man, and propitiation towards God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good, Rob.
Propitiation is within the sphere of relationship, which exists between God and the sinner. The propitiation contemplates the larger necessity of God being just. When he justifies the sinner and Christ as an offering, the sacrifice of the slain, through God meeting every demand of God's heaviness against the offender, renders God righteously propitious towards that offender.
Good.
So it deals with us, but it also it's the satisfaction of God. But if anyone wants to look it up, it's in Volume 3.
Good. Well, thanks a lot, Rob. Let's wave to Rob. Appreciate that very much.
Yeah, Rob.
Okay. That's very good. So, propitiation and redemption. And what did the blood of the slain animals in the Old Testament point to? Any hands on that? What did it point to, Joanne?
Sin.
Well,
it was a payment for sin.
Payment. And what else did it point to? You have Pastor Dan and then Robert.
To the cross. It's a picture of the cross.
By Barbara, then Tammy, then fine. Barbara?
I'm just putting my sweater on.
Okay, Tammy, go ahead.
The perfect Lamb of God that was going to be offered.
All right.
She was putting her sweater on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello? Dave Romer. Yes, Dave, go ahead. Texas. Yes.
Hey, have you heard of a guy named Rob Winograd?
Yes.
You heard of a guy? Okay.
Very good.
He showed me something here in Acts 20:28.
Mm-hmm.
It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen. Right.
So God the Holy Ghost in Luke 1:35, he was conceived in the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes, that's right.
1:35 says, the name of Andrew who stand here, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost also being God. God the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes, that's right.
But of God himself, then, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I just want to, besides that, say hi. I just want to say hi, and I want to ask Pastor Dan, can we come to that class in September?
Yes.
Yes, that's fine. You can do that.
Sure.
So come in person.
Come in person. Come in person.
Come in
person. We'll have to see you.
So I'm going to bring them all. I'm going to have to bring them all.
September 9th. That's when it starts.
September 7th.
Thanks.
Let's
wave, Rob.
Jacob.
Good to see you. All right. So, returning back to the offerings of the Old Testament, the blood. What does that blood represent? Any hands on that? Barbara?
The shed blood of Christ.
The shed blood of Christ. A picture of the Lamb of God, the one that should take away the sins of the world. How often was the blood shed in the Old Testament? Yeah, Barbara?
Every day, twice a day.
Day after day after day. How often was the blood of Christ shed? Yes, Barbara?
Once for all.
Once for all. Every repeated. What does the Roman Catholic Church say about how many times the blood of Christ pictorially is reshed?
Ten?
All the time.
All the time. Hundreds and thousands of times. See, it's blasphemous, really. The Mass, they speak that speech of the blood of Christ and the bread of the body. So very important. Fine. So, verse 25. Vicious through faith in his blood, perfect blood, sinless blood. Have you ever heard of that?
No,
thank you. Okay. Now, to declare his, who's the his referred to here? In verse 25. Any hands on that? A verb, Joanne?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ's blood. To declare his righteousness. How do we define righteousness? Any hands on that? Where do we find that? No hands? Yeah, go ahead.
Without sin.
All right, and where do we find that? Where do we find righteousness? In the world? Where? And has it?
The standard of righteousness is in Scripture, and the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect righteousness.
Yes, he is perfect righteousness, and we find righteousness in the Scripture, how God defines what he considers to be righteous. And does the world agree with God on that?
No.
No, he does not. Now, there's righteousness for the remission of sins. Remission means what? Remission. Any hand on that?
Removing?
Yeah.
Does it mean removing?
Yeah, remit. To remove. To pay back. All right? Mitzvah is to sin again. To sin again, to pay back. The remission. It makes the thing, something is remitted, it's gone. So you pay something, and if it's remitted, that means it's forgiven. That's your name?
Yeah.
Yes, Joanne?
Oh, no, I wasn't answering.
Okay. When hands are to the face, I think it's a hand up. Okay, so the remission of sins that are past. What do you think that means? Any hands on that? Remission of sins that are past. Yeah, Joanne?
Any time we come to Jesus and ask him to forgive us of our sins, he will forgive them, whether they're past or... Whether, you know, we can also say to him, I know I'm going to sin again, but I want you to forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Past, present, future. Sins are forgiven, but fellowship with the Lord must be, going back 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to be of God, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But sins have been forgiven for every genuine Christian. Past sins, present sins, even future sins, forgiven, but fellowship is a day-by-day situation. We must apply first time one night when keep fellowship. Yes, Joanne.
And you don't have to go to a priest for forgiveness of your sins.
A priest, a pastor, a rabbi, nobody. You go to the Lord and stuff. That's right. And since we're not first time one night, if we confess, what does confess mean in that person?
Say the same thing. Agree with God.
Say it.
Agree to
God. Homo, homo, same. We're going to say say the same thing about our sin that God says. That is, it's sinful. So you agree with God that we sin. Thought, word, deed. If you confess and just talk about it without agreeing with God that what you've done and said or thought is sin, it will not be forgiven. Fellowship. It will not give you the cleansing of that particular thing. But if you do agree with God, what I said and thought and did is sin, and I agree with you, Lord, he is faithful and he's just and forgives our sins and cleanses you all unrighteousness. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. So propitiation of faith is but to declare his righteousness, remission, forgiving, taking away the sins that are past. Now, what does this last phrase mean? By the way, before we do the questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-908, give us a call or comment, we'll hear from you. What does that last phrase mean? Through the forbearance. Okay, what's forbearance at hand in it? Forbearance. Go ahead, Lee.
We've got toleration, patience, and self-restraint.
Okay, really, yeah, toleration.
Patience,
and self-restraint. So, forbearance. God, in other words, if we're forbearance, we just wait a while before we blow our top off. Forbearance is... yeah, Ken.
What was that statement that your mother said? Well,
Ma said she wants you to understand that she has, on one foot she has four, the
bear. And then a forbearance.
Oh, I guess she said bear one hand.
In reference to patience?
I guess.
Long-suffering?
Long-suffering, thank you. When you walk it, one is bear, one is forbearance. kind of bear it, and then you're full bright. You just take patience instead of blowing your stack over something and being very angry. All right, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. So that's to the progressive end.
It reminds me of, is it 2 Peter 3:9, where it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, you know, that's the forbearance of God, because he could be told us that he wants everyone to be saved. So
that's right.
He's waiting.
He's waiting to all come. And then the verse number 26, to declare. What does it declare mean? The end of that. To declare. Right?
To make known.
Make known, Pastor Dan.
To proclaim.
Proclaim. In other words, God wants everybody to know this, that in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has declared genuine faith in Him through His blood. Everybody can be made righteous. That's to declare. At this time, what does He want to declare at this time, verse 26?
His righteousness.
God's righteousness. He wants to declare. He is righteous, righteous God. No injustice, no unrighteousness within the world. And then the next phrase of that, what does that word mean? That he might be just and the justifier. What does that mean? What does just mean in that sense? Maybe just. And then?
Perfectly righteous, holy, all right. All that he does.
All right, all he does, absolutely just. And what does a justifier mean? The answer to that? A justifier. That's him.
One that justifies him.
That's right. One that justifies. See, he's just because when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, that atoned for all those sins, especially those that trust in him as their Savior. Those that don't trust in their Savior, it's possible to be just of that. But they're not declared righteous for those sins. They haven't trusted Christ. He's the only one. But if we do trust, genuine Christians, he is just in what he does, but he's a justifier, one who justifies the sinner, makes the sinner as if he's perfect and holy and righteous. So he's both just. Why is he just? Why is it just for God to forgive sinners? Any answer to that? Why is it just, Paul?
Because he's holy and righteous.
Okay, why else? Say the other. Tammy.
Because he sent his son to be the propitiation for sin.
He sent his son, and his son paid for the sins of the whole world, making provision for everybody. Does that mean everybody is saved?
No.
No, they've got to trust that provider, the Lord Jesus, the one who made provision for them. And then he can be just and justify to those who, what kind of people is he justify? And declare righteous. And he has done that. In this verse number 26. Oh, pardon, Barbara.
Which believe in Jesus.
Them which believe. What kind of belief? Oh, excuse me, go ahead.
It would be continuing.
All right.
Yes?
Well.
The believers?
Believe, that's right, continuing. And what does that mean? What kind of belief is in the hands of that? That thing?
Heart belief.
Heart belief. It has to be real. Don't just say, I believe, and that's it. Just don't use those words. If your heart and your whole self doesn't believe, Lord Jesus died for your sin, you're lost. God forbid. That belief has to be genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As a belief in Jesus. Just and justified. Only certain people. Now, does that mean that he did not make provision for the sins of the whole world? Does that mean he doesn't make provision for everybody? Any answer to that? Does that mean God does not provide, make provision? Pastor Dan?
The provision is made. He puts up to people whether to accept the provision or reject the provision.
Okay. Dan, Barbara?
Well, he made the provision for the world. God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for everybody.
But just because he made provision...
Not everybody has it.
Everybody, does everybody have forgiveness of sin? Mm-hmm. No, but provision is there. So you must accept. Mm-hmm. Yes, Paul?
You have to... It come with a willing heart to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life and mean it and ask Him to forgive you. He will. Mm-hmm. But you have to come. You have to come and ask Him. Come before Him and ask Him.
Trust Him. Genuinely, that's right. Remember, I made an illustration the other day. Remember, he talked about, Pastor, I'm going to give you some dollars. Did you say that?
Or yeah,
tell
him. I'm Bill Gates. Hey, I'm Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And I'm telling everybody in the room that if you come to me and ask me, I will gladly write you a check for $1 million. And you have to believe that I have that money in order to come ask me for it. I give you the check. You can now put it in your bank, and you can write checks on it.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody's going to believe that I have that kind of money,
right.
Which is true. But still, it's the same sort of idea.
Yes. So to believe that that's the scripture and accept it, that's real genuine belief in the Lord Jesus. All right, then 25, 6, and 7. We're at 27, didn't we? What is not to be a part of this salvation situation, verse 27? Okay, Barbara?
That is the same.
What is boasting? Anybody define boasting? Answer that. What is boasting? Is that?
I mean, it's an element of works, and you know, not of works. We're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. It's nothing that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, I've done all this, so therefore I'm entitled to this salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, not upon what we've done.
What are some of the synonyms for boasting?
Bragging.
Bragging. Sam? Bragging. Boasting. So we should not boast. Now, we're very happy if we're saved, genuine Christian. The Barbara?
But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise kindness, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Yes, that's good. Questions at bmbc.org or 856-261-901 if you give us a call or comment, glad to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's excluded. Boasting is excluded. That says by what law of works? But by the law of faith. How would you interpret that verse 27? Can you handle that? Hey, Barbara?
Not of my own righteousness. I can't do anything.
Okay. It's excluded by law of works. But what is boasting excluded? Hey, Barbara,
you can't buy it. Mm-hmm. You can't say that I deserve it. There's mm-hmm. nothing that you can say that mm-hmm. is going to make it that you're worthy of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free gift that we get,
yes.
And we have to accept it that we're not even worthy of it.
That's
you know, boasting. You can't say that anything that you've done or how you look or anything
yes.
makes you worthy of this gift.
Mm-hmm. I'm worthy. Can't boast. Not of any law, but law of faith. Faith is the only thing that gets you. Paul?
I have a couple of questions. Number one, if you, not, you know, like say if you pray, I know God knows your heart or anything, but could you say, ask him, like, for if we ask him for forgiveness for not praying to him properly or anything like that, if, you know, you mess up everything, could, is it proper to ask forgiveness in that way?
Yes, but the way of Scripture, I believe, Paul, would be 1 John 1:9. Let's say 1 John 1:9 again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what if we confess? What would we say that again?
Homologate.
Agree with God that these things.
The same
God is faithful and he's just to forgive us. See, that's 1 John 1:9 is way for forgiveness. Get us back into fellowship. I said, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness and cleansing both are part of that 1 John 1:9. So that's, I think, what we have to do for our forgiveness of our sins. No boasting. 25, 6, and let's read verse. Just a minute. Just a minute. Hi, Jacob from Texas. Go ahead, Jacob.
That's good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good day, Papa.
Thank you, Santa. Thank Let's pray again through Jacob and Dan in Texas. Amen. Thank you very much. Yes. Yes.
Excuse me, before you go into the next verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that of yourselves it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, there's nothing. That's not of works. There's nothing. We have no wherewithal to boast at all, because it's all by grace, his grace.
Created unto good works. When does that creation take place?
The new birth.
The new birth, when we're genuinely saved, because the Christ is our Savior. Let's see first. Okay. Jim Carter. Hello, Jim, from Massachusetts.
Hi, Pastor Lee. Good Bible study. Goodness this morning. I just want to say, some people, I guess, they front-load the gospel, and some people back-load the gospel. And some people say, well, you have to repent of your sins, then Christ will save you. No. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he died, shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose the third day. The moment you believe, God declares you righteous. His righteousness is mine, and I believe it's irrevocable. He never takes it back. And then the Holy Spirit lives in you that moment. He gives you power to turn your back on the sins and all that. But it's not. Some people front load it, and then some people back load it. They say it's Christ plus this, Christ plus that, Christ plus all this stuff. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You declare righteous the moment you believe, because of what Christ did. He satisfied and propitiated. He satisfied the Father for all your sins. And our part is like that. Jacob just told a story about that black guy. His part, he was a sinner, and God's part was he justified him. He did the same thing. That gives God the glory, I believe, because of his grace did it.
Right. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And thank you very much. Let's wave to Jim Canada. Great to see you over there in Massachusetts. Right ahead. No, we had a question somewhere before this.
Just by what law? I mean, some people think that they can keep the Ten Commandments, or that it seems like in the context of this passage, there were those that were trusting in the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and there are people today that they're trusting in the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, or I'm keeping this or that command in the Bible. But, you know, it's not of the law either.
Mm-hmm. In other words, not justifying by the law, but by works. But by faith, I think
right,
that's right.
Right, it says by what law?
Yeah.
You know.
That's good.
The law of faith.
All right, we're going to read 28, 29, and 30. Have we read that yet? Let's read. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, who shall justify the circumcision by faith, and not circumcision through faith.
28,
29, 30.
Should we read the
next
one?
We read three.
There's one more verse in the chapter.
Oh, let's read the one last verse. Very well. You will then mistakenly call it the law of your faith. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. All right. So, in verse 28, we conclude. What does conclude mean? The end of that. We conclude after that.
Finish.
We're finished. This is our end of that, we understand. And what is the conclusion in verse 28? The answer to that? Yeah, 10.
Well, this is sort of the summary of everything that went before.
All right.
Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Simply by faith. And what kind of faith is that? How would you define saving faith? The answer to that? How would you define saving faith? Hey, Barbara.
Relying on Christ for salvation.
It's got to be a genuine. Is that right? Some people say things. Does everything people say necessarily mean what they say? You say what they mean? That's to them.
The scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Mm-hmm. It must be genuine faith.
And deny yourself the gift of God, not of works, something that was recorded that earlier.
Yes.
I have a note here in my Bible that says, faith is the moral commitment. It is belief of the mind, submission of the heart, and obedience of the will.
That's good. It finds it very strong, very straight, faithful. So we conclude, justified by faith, genuine faith of the heart, not simply the head, without the deeds of law. Can the law deeds save anybody?
Well,
no question, go justified by the law. And then in verse 29, we get into who the God is. What is the truth? What is the God of, supposedly? What group of people in this verse? Any hands on that? What group of people God is, should be the God of? Yeah, Tammy, question.
Well, God is the God of the Jews, of the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
There is only one God. But it is not Allah,
right,
which is the God of the Arabs. It is not Buddha.
Yeah.
He is the God of the Jews.
Yes.
The God who gave us this Bible.
Mm-hmm. And who else is the God of? Who else?
Who else is the God of the Christians?
Yes, what does this verse say?
I'm sorry, what?
What does this verse say? It's the God of the Jews? What's it?
Yeah.
Who else?
Oh, and all the Gentiles.
The Gentiles too, that's right. Some of the people argued about translations for the Islamic people. And some of them had concluded, and I've heard this, some theologians have said, whether it's Allah, whether it's God, that's why we'll put Allah in there for the Islamic people. That's false. What is Allah like, and what are some of the characteristics of Allah? Why is it different from our God? Anybody know anything about it?
Love is never mentioned in the Quran. Never. And God is love. So if Allah is God, then He would have to be love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I don't know, but Allah was born. I mean, He wasn't.
That's right.
God was always here. He was the creator of all things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they can't say that Allah was always there, right?
Exactly. Did Allah die for the sins of the world?
No.
No. Yeah, Barbara.
Allah was one of the 15 bazillion gods in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
All Muhammad did was make Islam monotheistic and choosing one God to worship. That's all he did. Allah exists, well, as a God, in being worshipped by pagan people, existed for centuries before Muhammad ever came on the scene.
Mm-hmm. That's so, right.
We got a call missed from Steve. So we're going to call back Steve on the other the mobile phone number. I mentioned we have it. Yes.
Oh, Steve.
Call back.
We missed Steve on Thursday. We're going to make it, but must have something happened. So he's going to call back.
So you should call back on the other number if you can call back.
That's it. Questions at vftbc.org or call us, Steve, at 856-261-9018. Can't you mind?
What makes Allah any different than Zeus, than Neptune, those gods? The gods of the Greeks, the gods of the Romans.
He's not.
He's right?
He isn't. It's the same difference.
Hold that line until we get this. Yes, Anne-Marie and Harry.
Randy.
Okay, go ahead.
From Canada.
Yeah, Randy, go ahead.
I just wanted to add to the discussion on works and there's an interesting verse that came to mind. It's John 6:29, and it says, Jesus replied, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent.
Yes.
John 6:29. With regard to what works are, a lot of people think it's kind of a long to-do list rather than a good conversation in Christ and believing in Him.
Yes, that's good. Well, thank you, Randy. Wave to Randy from Canada.
Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie too. Anne-Marie and Randy. Professor Dan.
Over the years, this hello everyone. This is Rebecca Powell from South Carolina. I'm checking in to say hello as I attend your Bible study virtually. In regard to Romans 3:26, Jesus being the justifier makes me think of Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Very good. Rebecca Robert from South Carolina.
Dave.
Oh,
Dave.
That's a Dave. Thank you very much for waiting for you. Appreciate that. Yes, Lane, Mr. Oh, go ahead, Lane. Oh, you're just waiting.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what book did Allah presumably write?
Muhammad wrote the Quran.
That's right. Allah didn't write it. Muhammad
wrote the Quran.
Wrote the Quran. Now, one of the strong teachings, I have the Quran upstairs. I've read through, glanced through the whole pages, all of them. I put down and flipped down the pages of very serious things. But one of the things that's taught in the Quran, kill all the Jews, kill all the Gentiles, and the Christians, and kill all the, even the Muslims who don't agree with the whole thing and follow us. Does that sound like the God of the Bible?
No.
Does God say kill Christians, kill Jews, kill people who don't agree? So there's all kinds of, but they don't bring that up. See, all these Muslims today, they haven't read their own Quran. See, they don't know what it is. So they think it's all fine and good. It's horrible. It's wicked, corrupt. So he's the God of the Jews, the God of the Gentiles, and Gentiles would include all different other people, right?
And
religion, anything, whether it's Muslims or whether it's Buddhists or Shintoists or whatever. So he's the God of all the people. Does that mean that all people are saved?
No.
But he's the God for them. They look to him and trust him and take care of him. But he's not the God that saves all of them, no. Not universalism.
God Elohim, in the beginning, God Elohim created. Mm-hmm. So he's the creator. He's the creator of all people.
Yes.
But he's only Lord of his children.
Yes. The creator, the Lord of those that are genuinely saved, and you're Christians. And then, in verse 30, one God, how many people can he justify if the people meet the requirements? How many people in this verse number 30 are able to be justified if they meet the requirement? Any hands on that? Yeah, Pastor Dan and then Barbara.
All.
All. Barbara?
Uh-huh.
All. In other words, one God which shall justify, declare righteous, the circumcision by faith, uncircumcised through faith. So they have to have the faith, the genuine faith, in order to be justified by genuine faith in Christ. Pastor Dan, and then Mark.
Hello, I'm listening to the PM Bible study this afternoon. And a question about the verses, this verse here, verse 30. The question is, the verse states, the circumcised are justified by faith, which is ek, and the uncircumcised are through faith, which is dia. There's difference here in words, so I imagine the difference in meaning. Can you explain the difference for the Jews versus the Gentiles by versus through? It's by, I guess, day versus, or rather, ek is by and through is dia. Mm-hmm. By versus faith, by versus through faith. Thanks, Rebecca Howell from
That's right, Rebecca Howell. Yeah. All right, okay. The through the by is by means of faith, and the ek, out of faith, out as a result of faith. So it's very similar in the meaning here. Ek means out of, and from, the sense of the source is faith. By is through, means of, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's got to be genuine faith. It's got to be proper faith. It can't be just, I believe. And that's why it's wrong, I think, for people to say they pray the sinner's prayer, that's all that they're saying. They can repeat any kind of words, but that doesn't mean they're genuine in that faith. Yeah, Barb?
I'm going to go back to this one God a little bit, please.
All right.
This concept, which goes back to the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is a unified oneness, not an absolute oneness. All the other translations, when you go throughout Scripture and read, they talk about the one, and it's not God. Because I just recently did a study on this, and when Scripture talks about the one, it's, when the King James talks about the one, it's always the Holy One or the Righteous One in reference to God. So what they're referring to is what the Buddhists consider
when you die, you become one with everything, because it's like a pantheistic sort of thing. So the other translations are teaching about this oneness, this unified oneness, because everything's made up of the same substance. So I think that's real important in this day and age as to what's going on, the difference between the Holy One and the One.
That's good. Let's wave to Rebecca Howell and Dave Howell over there in South Line. We didn't wave last time. She asked a question.
Well,
oh, you waved. You said hi to. Okay. All right. So that's verse 30. Through faith or by faith, ek out of for the source of it, and dia the means to through, which are two words that mean the same. If that's Steve, he can ask his question. Go ahead, Paul.
Excuse me, Dr. Wade, could you... My bus is supposed to be here anywhere between 2:32 to 3:12.
Okay.
Estimated 1:52 to what I'm going to change.
Are they going to honk?
Yes, sir.
Tell them to honk and be sure to come on Dale Hampton. That's good. That's good. Well, Bill, with his eyes in the back, he says, he'll be able to look here. He's a good looker.
I'm looking, all right. All right.
But now, in verse 31, the last verse, to then make void the one. Is that Steve again?
Yes, I'm sure, I suppose, yes.
Is he going to call?
I mean, he's thinking about it, yes.
Okay, because he can relate to this.
He says he's listening, that's all. He's listening, he's watching, interviewing.
Okay.
Steve, so he's okay.
He's listening. Yeah. Okay, here he is. Steve Linwood. Okay. Hey, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, Steve Linwood. Go ahead. We missed you Thursday.
Yeah, I'm watching the live stream.
Good.
Great.
That's good.
Has it been played already?
What is that?
Has it been recorded already?
No, it's just being recorded now.
John 3:16
is this live streaming play? Okay.
Is that the one you're doing now?
No, we're doing a live Bible study in the book of Romans. So this is live, and the others are recorded. See?
Okay, I got you.
Do you have any comments or questions, Steve? Go ahead, call.
I just tuned in now.
Good, good. Well, glad you tuned in. Come on, Nick, when you can, Sunday afternoon and Thursday.
Good. Oh,
okay, well, that's one. Romans 3, and the last verse of Romans 3, Romans 3:31. So give us a call and give us some comments on it if you wish to. Okay? Thanks,
okay, Steve.
Bye bye. Let's just wave to Steve. Steve. The painter.
Steve.
Nobody else is Steve. He's ours. Verse 31. What does void mean? Do we make void the law? What law is referred to? What is void? Two questions. Any hands on that? Two questions.
Void is empty.
Empty. All right. That's good. And Barbara?
And the law would be the Torah.
Torah, which is another word for what?
First five books of the Bible.
First five books of the Bible. The Law of Moses. The Law of Moses. So, do we make void the law through faith? Any hands on that? What's the answer to that question? Barbara? I mean, shouldn't Tam?
The answer is no.
The answer is no. Tam or Barbara?
May it never be.
It never be. In other words, the law is for the Israelites. What did the Israelites prove to God by what they did with the law of Moses? What did they prove to God by what they did with that law? Any hands on that? Pardon?
They established.
They established what?
The law.
Well, what did they do with the law? What did they prove?
They broke
the law. They broke the bill.
Yeah, they couldn't follow the law.
They couldn't follow. Okay.
They proved that they were sinners and that they weren't able to keep the law.
Right. Was there any human being on this earth, human being, is able to keep the law?
No.
But the only one who could. Yeah.
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is a human being. He's perfect God for man.
Yeah, but wait, I mean, exclusively human. No exclusive human. But perfect God and perfect man, he was the only one who could. But did he want people to continue to keep the law? Did he want people to keep the law of Moses?
Yes. Thou shalt not kill is one of them. We don't want to read that one.
The law of Moses has such. All the different, the whole Old Testament laws. They want to keep the whole Testament law of Moses. And that one is repeated in the New Testament.
Right.
He said, I didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm. And he did fulfill it. And not for us to fulfill it. See, in other words, how many of the Ten Commandments? You quoted one. That's like how many of those Ten Commandments are brought over in the New Testament as well?
Nine.
We do keep that, you see, but right. The law of Moses, I said, is the law of Moses exclusively the Ten Commandments?
No.
How many other things? How many other books?
500 in total.
5 books of the Lord, but there's full 39 of the Old Testament. See, that's the law. Now, there's a transitional period. The Lord Jesus was here, and then the book of Acts. But after a while, what happened? What change took place? Sam?
The Bible was completed.
And then, what were we to do and follow exclusively? No intermediate state. Right?
Well, the one that's not in there is to keep the Sabbath day.
That's right.
The only one that's not...
Oh, the Ten Commandments. That's right. Mm-hmm. But, Pastor Dan, you said...
Greetings. This is from Pennsylvania. Hello to everyone there. Appreciate the good Bible study. Julie.
That's where the Julie Monahan. Julie, I didn't get an answer for you by your phone for the hymn. That's why I didn't have a hymn for it. I'm confused. I think I have 3 phones. I got 3 phone numbers. I got a new phone. Pastor Dan thought he would give it to me because he did because of other things. And he put in all these phone numbers, and your particular name had 3 phone numbers. I called all 3, seemed like nothing worked. So please give me an email what the proper phone number is for you. I couldn't get through to you last night, so therefore I didn't know what your hymn would be. So pardon me, thank you for calling. Now repeat what you said again, Pastor Dan.
She said she's enjoying the Bible study. She appreciates it. Let me read it one more time here.
Okay.
She says, greetings. Hello to everyone there. Appreciate the good Bible study, Julie.
Very good. Let's wait until Julie Monahan there. Philadelphia. Thank you very much. Pennsylvania. Yeah. We miss you, Julie. Come and see us. And try to give us on an email what your best phone number is, because you have 3, I think. I think several of them are no longer used. So thanks very much. All right. So we're talking about the law of Moses. And we're not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
Under grace. And when did grace begin? Any hands on that? When did grace begin? At 10?
At the cross.
At the cross of Christ. That was grace. As I say, there's a transitional period. Some of the Gospels, you don't know that it refers to the law in the book of Acts. But then after that, it's finished, right? And the Romans all the way through, completely separate under grace, and nothing with the law of Moses. We don't sacrifice to anyone. So, yes. Rob Winograd. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, Rob. Hello.
Call again,
Rob. Yeah, his name appeared, but apparently he called before, maybe he forgot to call again. Call again if we come on, Rob. We have to do that. So, we make void the law to faith. There he is. Try him again. Give you one more chance, Rob. Well, yes, hello, Rob. Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I hear you now. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to make a quick comment about what Sister Barbara shared about our doing wrong and which was under the God and that concept of blood. The cross was God also appropriated that concept. And I'd like to know more about it. And it's in the book I have, and I've been looking for it. I can't find it yet, but it's by Dr. Slaver, Jake Slaver.
Uh-huh.
And perhaps that's something that did it incorporate that idea of Jesus as one. And it's really an unknowable God. But that book, and I'll try and bring it up next week.
Good. I appreciate that. Okay, that's Wendy Rob there in Chicago.
Hey, Rob.
Appreciate it very much. Amen. All right. Any other comments on this chapter 3 before we move forward? Okay, let's read Romans 4, 1, 2, and 3. We'll stop there and pick it up next week. Let's just read the 3 verses, right? What shall we say then that God is doing? As we read about this, from man to flesh, that's God. For if Abraham were justified by the works, he has earned the glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Pick that up, actually. Do you have any comments before we quote? Comments? Question? Thomas Close was working. Our Father, we just thank you for the book of Romans, for Paul writing it, led by the Holy Spirit, giving us all these facts and figures and documents and definitions of righteousness and holiness and propitiation. All these words give us a knowledge of them, and Lord, all those of us who have genuinely trusted our Savior, keep us faithful unto thee, bring us back on Thursday for Bible study, and continue to use us in thy kingdom and for thy cause. Help us in our lives to be righteous and holy and filled with thy Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in all that we do, all that we think, all that we say, and everything we are. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.